Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 801 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. As we told you a little while ago, Brian Kelly, if you didn't see his announcement to the fans at Tiger at their basketball arena at LSU, Brian Kelly came out. He sounded like he's already got a little bit of a Cajun accent, which was kind of weird since, you know, he's not Cajun or anything, and he was up north most all of his career. So it was a little weird. But now to explain it for us, here's Brian Kelly on a mobile, and he can tell us about this newfound Cajun accent of his. Hey, Brian Kelly on a mobile, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm glad y'all had me on the radio show here. I wouldn't go so far as to say it's a Cajun accent. It's obviously a Southern accent. You know, when you look at it, and this is unfortunate because I think a lot of people are misconstruing what they heard at the game. You know, a lot of people say, well, Brian, you know, and they've been calling me the Yankees in Cincinnati and Indiana were calling me Brian Kelly. My name is Brian Kelly. Brian Kelly. Is how it's pronounced. It's how my grandpappy pronounced it and how my grandmammy pronounced it, and it's been Kelly for a long time. You heard me?
Brian, yeah, we didn't know that, but yeah.
Brian, let me ask you, since you got down to the South, do you have any favorite dishes? Some Southern cuisine.
I'm obviously... Hog Maws is good. I love chitlins. I've been a chitlin guy for a long time. But cracklins is really, I couldn't wait to get back down south so I could, into my home state, well kind of home state of Louisiana, so I could get back on them cracklins. Y'all ever been to Don's outside of Lafayette there? Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. My favorite spot for cracklins, one of my absolute favorite cracklin spot. So, you know, I like dishes. I like a nice chili with cornbread. I prefer me some good catfish. I've got a mustard battered catfish recipe that runs deep in the family. You finish it with sweet tea and a little cherry cobbler. And, well, that's what I just called a nice night down south. That's what we called it, my family, for years.
Yeah, you had Brian any gator
Kelly's family.
Yeah, you had any gator or etouffee yet?
No, not yet. I don't. We're gonna get into it. But why would I eat gator etouffee when I was in Indiana and in Cincinnati? Those people don't know. You know, I had to sit there and put on airs for them, pretend like I was one of them. Finally, I get to be who I am. And that's who you saw. Who you saw at the LSU game, that's Brian Kelly. And that's what I am. So I'm so happy to be back amongst my people at Louisiana and go Tigers. You know, so finally, we can just be who we are. You know, that's all you want to be in life. Be who you are. Live your best life. And if you can't live your best life in Baton Rouge, well, I can't do nothing for you. You heard me?
Well, it's kind of odd. I know that you're back down south, you know, where, with your people, but
you were
born in Massachusetts and raised Irish Catholic in Massachusetts. That doesn't seem that south to me.
Well, that's where'd you get that from?
Well, the Wikipedia.
Yeah. So it's probably a Notre Dame, an angry Notre Dame. I wouldn't be surprised if that was Ian Book, you know, doctoring up my Wikipedia page because he's gotten real surly as an alumni of Notre Dame now. How could you do this to those kids? I said, I'm just going home. Remember when LeBron left Miami to go back to Cleveland? Remember that? I'm coming home. And they played the songs and everything. That's all this was. So I had to tell Ian that. So that's just old. That's just old scurrilous Notre Dame fans doctoring up my Wikipedia. That's all that is. What, Massachusetts? I can't even spell that. Yeah.
So you're coming home.
Coming home. Wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm home now. I'm home now. And grateful to be home and grateful to all these great people. And never, it seems like it's more humid than I remember here in, in my home south. But it's going to be okay. We're going to be okay. I love wearing shorts in November, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Kelly does.
Well, and here's something, too, Coach. Brian Kelly on a mobile here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The story came out. Well, it came out a couple of years ago.
Right.
Well, but that Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur, who are head coaches in the NFL now, that you made them shovel snow and park cars. And here's the good news is you don't have to worry about that anymore. You can make the grad assistants. I don't just park the cars, and I don't know. Maybe they could clean the cars while people are at your parties instead of shoveling snow.
Can I ask
snow.
You a real quick? Yeah. I sense a slight tone of irritability.
No.
In the way you're saying it. Well, now hold on one second. Here, let Brian Keller speak. You know, I read what they said, and I found the tone to be one. I think the writer took them out of context, because let's take a look here. Let's play a little game called Where Are They Now? Back then, Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur were just living in a room together, smelling of stinky feet, and grown men just stacked on top of each other, you know? And then old Brian Kelly was able to give them some work ethic and give them some tough love and coach them up, so to speak. Can you tell me where they are now, Mr. Radio Person?
Yeah, they're the NFL head coaches now. Thanks. Yeah.
Looks like Brian Kelly's coaching tree got real robust just now. So, you know, when I look back at all the tough loving and coaching up I did, some things. Remember when the one Chinese guy made the kid with the karate do the things where he cleaned his car and
wax on with Danielson? Danielson, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's the same deal.
The Karate Kid? Are these the Kelly kids?
The Chinese kid?
Yeah, it's the same deal with the kid who was 42 and looked 17. Right. You just make them clean up the fence, and you make them clean your car and shovel snow and park cars. Before you know it, one kid's beating up the blonde-haired kid and screwing his girlfriend. And the next minute, you look over here, and two guys are head coaches in the NFL. So, Brian Kelly always has a plan, and that's why fans of Louisiana State University, how we call it, you can be rest assured that Brian Kelly always has a plan. I am the Miyagi of the South, and just know this much, if there's going to be a lot more fence cleaning and car washing and all that stuff for graduate assistants at LSU, because I'm trying to make them better, and it's going to start with picking my laundry up here in about 20 minutes, and if he's not here, he's gone.
Your DC is your DC's going to pick up listen. You got you got to whitewash the fences, and you got all kinds of stuff you got to get done down here.
Yeah, I got a sucker suit that needs to be cleaned. So we got to get this thing moving here for Brian Kelly. You heard me.
We heard.
So
you.
Brian Kelly's got a plan. You're going to get some interns to power wash. Do speaking of your plan,
Brian Kelly's driveway needs power washing. That's just the way it goes. And guess what power washing equals? You might be an athletic director one day.
Well, how about that? How about that?
There we go. Hey, we can make some things happen here with Brian Kelly.
Well, speaking of your plan, it came to my attention that Ed Orgeron, your predecessor, sold Joe Burrow on LSU by feeding him crawfish. Does Brian Kelly have any such plans for future recruits?
Listen, my wife has a robust Southern cookbook, so I don't really, and we could get it catered too. She's not the best cook. But I think what you're going to find is that when the kids come down to Brian Kelly's house, we're going to make sure they get fed real, real good and real nice. That's not going to be a problem. So Yeah, the food is going to flow. The drinks for people 21 and over are going to flow. And we'll keep people up out of the casinos unless they're of age, obviously. But the main thing is we've got a plan. We're going to start winning all of our games. And finally, wash away the stench of Ed Orgeron in that 2019 season.
Whoa, the stench of that 2019 season?
Yeah.
Well, you know, just one of the greatest seasons ever. In, you know, in college football history. But, yeah, got to wash away that stench.
You know, that was pre-COVID. That was COVID was coming on, and it kind of ruined the whole season.
Well, it was pre-COVID, and it had nothing to do with it.
Well, but COVID was hatching all over the South.
Right. Well, if Ed Orgeron.
Slow simmer.
Listen, if Les Miles can win a title and Ed Orgeron can win a title, what are you going to win about? Well, I mean, you can. I mean, that
was
a good move.
I sure do hope LSU gets together a spelling bee one time from old coaches. I bet you I'm a big favorite.
A big, big threat. Well, Brian Kelly on a mobile, man, we really appreciate it. We got some clarity now about that accent of yours, but thank God you're back home.
Yeah, it's not an accent. This is real voice. The accent was when I was working undercover in the North with the Yankees. But listen, if you're a parent here in the great state of Texas, second only to Louisiana, if you're a parent and you got a good football player that can run fast, jump high, is real strong, and has some long arms, just know that sending your kid a little further east is going to be real good, because we're going to coach him up, we're going to love him up, we got a plan for him, and we're going to win a national title. And on the way, stop and get some cracklings.
Mm-hmm.
All right now. All right. Brian Kelly says, I'm checking out now. Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Go Tigers. Brian Kelly on a mobile. Did not realize that he was. I thought he was from Massachusetts. He sounded different.
I'm glad he cleared that up, though.
In Cincinnati, Grand Valley, then Central Michigan, and then Cincinnati. He didn't sound like that. He just did not.
Where did he sound like he's from? Is he a Hackberry boy?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, he's back home, and it's so good. Family. Is what it's all about. 812 ESPN 97.5. Thank you so much for joining us. Time to talk Absolute Marble and Granite. Jeff Aronoff is a Houston guy, okay? So he's the guy that he's Southern as well, and he's going to come and he's going to fix up your house or your business. All you got to do is call Jeff Aronoff and let him come and redesign all of the stuff that you got to have. Listen, he really is really good at this. And the thing about it is that you don't need somebody that's going to design it, and then Jeff Aronoff will be the contractor for it. Jeff Aronoff will do it all. He will do the designing, he'll do the contract, and he's not going to subcontract it. He is going to do it all for you. All you got to do is give him a call and let him start. What is it that you need done? Is it that outdoor patio, kitchen? Is it that you got to redo your whole kitchen, your den, your bedrooms? You got to redo your bathrooms? He does it all. I mean, you want flooring, you want walls, you want cabinets, everything. He gets this job done. Got to be a big job. Give him a call. Let him come. He'll navigate the entire deal, and he'll help you pick all the stuff out as well. It's what he does every day. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolutely
you are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Patrolling the Houston sports radio scene for 20 years. Well, minus a few years where Lance took a little detour. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good to have Brian Keller on a mobile. Thank you for joining us here this morning on the show. We appreciate it. We were just talking during the break. Roosh Williams was here with us on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, taking Lance's place. I don't know where Lance is, but maybe we'll have him call in sometime. Lance is off today, and he's off on Monday. He's got the Charlie Polillo schedule now all worked out for himself. It's the winter of Lance. This is going to be, as opposed to the summer of Charlie, this is the winter of Lance. But Roosh and I were talking during the break about this. Have you seen these videos of these robots lately? What the hell is going on with people?
I'm scared.
I mean, it is. Go look up these female robots and these male robots. Did you see the guy? The one? I guess it's a male robot. It looks like a male. I don't know if robots have sexuality at all. But it's a robot on the stage just giving a speech. It's like, what in the hell are we doing? Are we dumb? These robots are everything. Black Mirror is going to actually take place. People, Westworld. Did you not watch the robots take over and kill everybody?
It's like a simulation. It's like it's almost like every, I don't know, 2-3 weeks that I'm on Twitter, they just up the ante. I'll see one. It's like a pack of robot dogs walking. And then they start jumping. It's like,
With the semi-automatic machine gun on top of it.
Whew.
What are we doing? Have we lost our minds with the robots?
Setting ourselves up for something interesting. Yeah, this one, I'm looking at this one right now. It has facial expressions. And it's like,
yeah,
it's like a human. I don't like
with
what I'm looking at.
With the eyes that like wander while you're trying to think of something. It's like, what are we doing?
Man.
Are we idiots? Man. I mean, who's running this? Cal McNair? What are we doing?
It's the Easterby robot.
This is the dumbest thing ever. Speaking of which, Danny Amendola had knee surgery earlier this week, so Danny Amendola no longer with us. Today, are you going to wear red for Battle Red Day?
Probably not, but I just want to say the way you phrased that made it sound like Amendola passed away. He said no longer with
he's
us.
He's no longer with us, with our team. He's useless. He's dead to us now.
Are we going Battle Red this Sunday?
Oh, we're going Battle Red is this Sunday.
Mm.
Okay, so now how about this? It says the first 10,000 fans that come in get a Battle Red T-shirt. How many T-shirts will be left over?
I'm going to guess. Well, but you know what they do every week? Every week they say, oh, record attendance, or oh, we had...
They said they had 65,000 out there last week.
No chance.
They had... maybe 30,000 people there.
No
maybe.
Chance. They have to be accounting for the season ticket holders that, you know, don't show up.
So the first 10,000 fans who arrive at the stadium will get a Battle Red T-shirt starting at 9:30 a.m. Mm. How many will be left over that they have to give to a third world nation? How many Battle Red T-shirts?
I say half.
I would say, will they get to 10,000? I think they get to 10,000 fans. I think they do. But... It's going to be a struggle.
How many of those fans want that T-shirt, though?
Yeah. Well, I mean, got Battle fans. Red. It's Battle Red,
not for
Aaron.
Colts fans, it's not. It's what's the Colts white, not Liberty white.
Oh, yeah. How many? That's right. How many Colts fans are going to be there exactly. And say, I don't want. No, thank you. Keep it.
Yeah.
No, keep it.
Here's your Battle Red shirt to put on, sir.
No, thank you.
Carson Wentz.
No, thank you. Don't need it. I'm good. I got my white. I got my blue on. And it's not deep steel blue. It's cold blue.
Maybe it'll rain on Sunday and they'll just take it out of the stadium to cover themselves.
So this is a red weekend, man. We're wearing red for the Cougs. We're wearing red for the Texans.
Red for the Rockets.
Red for the Rockets. Who they got this weekend?
They play, I believe, Orlando.
Oh, yeah, Friday. Tonight.
Yeah.
They got here.
Orlando tonight.
Yeah.
And then the Pelicans on Sunday also here.
Both here.
Yeah.
You know, they had an inordinate amount of road games early on.
They did.
I mean,
and they didn't win any
up.
Of them until Wednesday or whatever it was to beat the Thunder.
It was ridiculous how many more road games they had played. So, I mean, I think the league is just against us. I think that's what's happening.
Of course.
Did you see there's another bowl game? Way to go. So there are 84 bowl eligible teams. 84. Wow. So now there are 42, including a yet-to-be-named second bowl in Frisco, Texas. It's the new unnamed Texas Bowl in Frisco, Texas.
Wow.
So everybody, here's the deal. How about the Cougs have got a chance to be the New Year's Day? They will. If they win this game, they're the New Year's Day Group of Five bowl team. That'll be totally sweet.
Do you think they're going to pull it off?
I do. I do. Okay. I like them. Now, they haven't had great success against Cincinnati of late. They didn't look good against them a couple of years ago when they played them, but this is a different football team. This is a much better defensive football team. The question is whether or not McCaskill and Henry can get going.
Well, I also think Clayton Tune has to take care of the football.
Yeah.
So, that'll be important. What worries me is Cincy is basically a home game for Cincy, right?
Yeah. No, it is a home
game. It is a home. So, okay, there you go. So, it's a home game for Cincy. So, that worries me. I'm just not too, you know, it's Cincinnati. They can be beat, right? And I actually like Dana Holgorsen. When he was hired, I thought it was a good hire. They stumbled out of the gate for those first 2 years, but I think they finally found their footing. And I just think that offensively, under Holgorsen teams can be dynamic, and hopefully that's what we see.
Well, here's the thing about Dana is he's not the Texas. This is not Texas Tech offense. He's gotten so far away from the air raid. He runs the football. And, you know, they have struggled at times running the football, and Clayton Tune put the team on his back in a few of those games. And I'm hoping that that's not going to be the case, because if they're going to struggle at running the football tomorrow against Cincinnati, it's going to be a tough day, because you can't put it all on Clayton Tune. He's got to have a running game. McCaskill and Henry have got to break some. They've got to break through. They've got to pick up 100 to 150 yards running. They have to. Even if they're not running the football, what we've seen, Dana is still going to run the football. He is still going to run the football. Now, that draw that they run has been very effective, and, you know, because it's certainly, and they run it pretty well. Clayton Tune is not great at throwing screen passes. He gives it away too early, but what he is really good at is that delayed draw, where it looks like a pass, and it's actually a very delayed draw. He finally hands it off, and it's been a pretty effective play for him. So that's got to be effective, and they've got to hit some quick hitters too. They got to do both. And I've really been Tayshaun Henry. I thought, you know, you got to give McCaskill the ball, Dana. Get him 25, 30 carries a game. They ride that horse. But Tayshaun Henry has been excellent. He's been a great. That's been a great combo for him. He's been really, really good. So he's taken a lot of weight off the rookie shoulders, the freshman shoulders, and he's put some of it on Henry, which has been nice. It's been a fun team to watch. It's a good defensive team, really good defensive team. And, you know, they're going to have to play. They obviously have to play their best game. And, oh, by the way, Cincinnati's corners are both all conference. So Dell is going to have to do some stuff. I could certainly see Seth Green maybe being a part of this offense, because those corners are so good that you're going to have to throw to the tight ends. You know, this is going to be interesting to see how Dana attacks this. But I do know this: he's going to run the football. You can guarantee it. He's going to run the football. They just have to do it well. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, we'll see. To your point, Tayshaun Henry, excluding the UConn game, he only had five attempts for 32 yards, but the three games prior to that, three games prior to that against USF, Temple, Memphis, 11 carries per game, about 80 yards touchdown, 80 yards per game touchdown in each game. So if he can get going, that's obviously going to help them out. I think the spread is a little disrespectful.
It is disrespectful.
Yeah,
it is.
So
it is a home game for them. So what they're saying is that Cincinnati is more or less a 7.5-point favorite against U of H. Because, you know, you're going to get 3 points for the home field. I don't, you know what? The 10.5 looks bad, but you know what? Go over there and show them that you're being disrespected. And Dana's using it. He's addressing his team. He's addressed the media that it's disrespectful. First of all, having to play at Cincinnati kind of sucks.
Yeah,
you know, because all the other conferences are neutral sites. I don't know if you're the American that you're going to fill up a stadium, you know, and make your fans travel. That might be a difficult thing. Now, U of H has to travel. You know, they were unbeaten in conference as well, but the higher-ranked team gets the home field advantage, so they get the home field advantage in Cincinnati. Go there and show them. That's all.
Bulletin board material matters, so we'll see. They are at neutral sites, but I will say, and I've always felt this way, but Georgia-Bama is in Atlanta, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know how much of a neutral site that is.
Well, but Alabama still gets half the tickets.
Right, right.
You know, so, I mean, that's a lot different than what's going to happen in Cincinnati.
Right.
A lot different. Yeah. 713-780-3776, you got thoughts about any of the games tomorrow? You're more than welcome. And how excited are you for the new unnamed Texas Bowl? A Hawaii team, the Hawaii that is 6-7 is bowl eligible, and now they're going. Well, they're going to play the Hawaii, but they always play the Hawaii Bowl. They always get in the Hawaii Bowl. So
when do we get to the point where it's just too many bowls?
Well, here's the thing: is you can't. Apparently, they added this bowl because there are 84 bowl eligible teams. But so what if you? There's a lot of teams that used to win back in the day that didn't get bowl bids.
Yeah,
but now every 6-win team is going to be in a bowl game.
I just couldn't care less about more than half of those bowls, right? It's like, I don't want to see all these under. If the Longhorns, for example, somehow had won another game, who would care about that game? I would not. I'm a Longhorn alum. I would not care about that game. It would almost be embarrassing to play that game.
Yeah.
It's almost like a consolation bowl. They should just call them consolation bowls, you know?
Well, there are so many, goodness gracious, so many teams that you don't give a rat's ass about
that right.
They're going to be playing. Like, but that's good for them. They get to keep on practicing. They get, you know, and they get to, and their fans get something to watch. And so that's all fine and good. If you don't want to, you know, I've always said, if you don't want to watch, don't watch.
Yeah.
That's all. And the ratings will show that. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. If you want, listen, I know what I'm going to be doing while I'm watching my bowl games. I'm going to be drinking cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Lights. My next commercial is for Chastain Ford. I don't think they like how often, you know, what with, you know, me driving their vehicle, you know, that listen, but drink responsibly, people. That's right. Drink responsibly. Get a ride if you're drinking. That's it. Just get a ride. Get an Uber. It's so easy. But you know what? Make sure that you got your Coors Lights ready. If you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, Coors Light, it's the world's most refreshing beer. You can see it right here. Those of you on Twitch, you see my Coors Light laptop? Yep, that's me. I branded myself with Coors Light. You know why? Because I love Coors Light. Did I have some yesterday? Yes. Am I going to have some today out at the Wildcat? Yes. Am I going to have some tomorrow watching all the games? Yes. Am I going to have some watching the Texans? You have to. There's no way you can watch the Texans without beer. So if you're looking for cold, clean, crisp, and refreshing, and the world's most refreshing beer, you might as well be refreshed. Don't drink that motor oil that's out there, that dark beer motor oil, bitter aftertaste. No, don't make that bitter face. What you need is cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Light.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 7-1-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. One of the things, and we were talking about this yesterday, the lockout. All right. No, one of the things is, and it's a real service time, the structure is a major sticking point. The players want to get to arbitration after 2 years, which actually did happen in the past. They also are talking about getting to free agency in 6 years or by the time you're 29 and a half years old, which would be interesting in that if you want to keep a guy down in the minor leagues and stop his clock from starting early, right?
I.e. what Jeff Luhnow did with George Springer.
Yeah, yeah. See, Springer would have gotten to free agency 2 years before that had they had this rule in effect. I don't think it will happen. I don't think that Major League Baseball is going to mess at all with, they're going to mess at all with any of this stuff. They have said you got to take some of this stuff out before we even get to the table. We're not talking about this stuff. That's just not happen. It's just not happen. So happening. So I could certainly see this to be long and drawn out. Listen, they're both stubborn. They're going to sit and they're going to wait until, you know, the 11th hour, because that's the only time that you can actually get stuff done. I don't know how much is going to get done. One thing that that Major League Baseball wants that for some reason the players don't want, which I don't understand, because more teams in the playoffs means more money for the players,
yeah.
Right? I mean, if you don't make the playoffs, you don't have any postseason earnings. So
more money and another opportunity or more opportunity to rack up some stats, right, and get paid.
Yeah.
You know, showcase yourself. So.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see the downside for the players of having more teams in the postseason. I really like the proposal of you'd have 14 teams. The top team in each league would sit out the first week, the first series, while number 2 through 7 would play, and 2 gets to pick who they want to play, and then 3 gets to pick who they want to play.
Yeah.
Is totally sweet.
Can you imagine the reactions for the team that picks their opponent and then loses to that opponent?
Oh, yeah. It will happen.
And it definitely will happen. I mean, I'm all for it. I mean, look, the Astros got into the playoffs because of an expansion. you know, during a very truncated and interesting season. But it's just more fun. Now, on the flip side of that, I will say that the fact that so many less teams get into the playoffs, like the NBA has this problem, right, where nobody cares about the first round. Nobody cares about the seventh seed or the eighth seed because the odds of those teams beating the one or the two seed are virtually slim to none.
4 and 5 is a good series.
Right. You know?
Right.
Maybe the 3 and 6 seed. Yeah, maybe the 6 seed takes it to 6 games, maybe 7 if, you know, if it's a mismatch or whatever. So I get that. I do think the randomness in baseball and just the fact that each game is dictated by who is on the mound, more or less, makes it so that, you know, a bottom seed could much easier beat a top seed than in the NBA. But I get that perspective. And then also kind of the argument that, you know, it's more special to make it to the playoffs in baseball because it's so much harder to do.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, we celebrate things like winning a pennant, you know, whereas in basketball, people don't celebrate winning a conference championship, which they should, but they don't. You know, it's finals or bust, championship or bust. So I get both sides, but I just think more teams making the postseason makes it a little more interesting, but maybe that's just me.
I do too. I really think that it'll be so much better. Now, if I was a team, if I was the second seed, what I would do, I would throw the 3 wild card teams in the hopper and just pull one. That would eliminate anybody thinking, "Oh, you want us, huh? So get some of that." Well, no, we took all that out of it. We're just gonna draw a name out of the hat and we'll play you.
Totally random. But then people will say, "Oh, well, you know, they rigged it."
No, this is not the commissioner pulling the frozen New York Knicks
Patrick Ewing
card. Yeah, the Patrick Ewing card out. No, that's not what happened. That is not what happened. So that's the way I would go about it because you want to talk about disrespecting. There's 3 teams there and you chose us? Is that what you wanted? That's what you wanted. Okay, well watch this. Watch this, how this works out for you. 837 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You got any thoughts on baseball and the playoff? You're more than welcome to do that. Big, big weekend. Dell is going to join us to talk about this college football. I'm really excited about it. I think we're going up to Dallas to watch Oklahoma State and Baylor. That's going to be a good football game. Oklahoma State has got a chance. I really think that Oklahoma State, let's say Alabama wins, Michigan wins, and Cincinnati wins. Let's say they all win. I think Oklahoma State has a chance to jump Cincinnati with this win over Baylor. I think the committee has put it out there that they've kept Houston down. They've kept Houston at 21. So, and they've got Baylor as a top 10 team. So a win over Baylor is going to mean a hell of a lot more to Oklahoma State than a win over Houston will to Cincinnati. And if Cincinnati doesn't have style points as well, which I don't believe they will, I think at the worst, this is just going to be a really good football game. And Cincinnati has lacked style points for the most part, other than the last week or two of the season, there's a good chance that Oklahoma State jumps them.
Oklahoma State's playing good football. So Baylor, I think, I could be wrong about this, but I think Baylor is only 1 of 5 FBS teams to not give up either 30 or more than 30 points in a game. Up until Oklahoma State was in Bedlam playing Oklahoma, they were also in that category, I think. I'm pretty sure, unless I'm looking at this wrong, and they gave up 33 to Oklahoma. But they've only lost to Iowa State. They got the sixth best rushing defense in football. They're facing Baylor, who's got the second best rusher, you know, in the Big 12. So I think it's going to be interesting. I think Mike Gundy is a pretty dang good coach. I mean, got to give him credit for what he's been able to do over the years. This is Oklahoma State's first Big 12 championship game as well. Very interesting. They've won the Big 12 in 2011, but that's when there wasn't a Big 12 championship game. So we'll see. I do think it's hard. I do think it's hard to beat the same team twice mm-hmm. in one season. You know, so I don't know how much stock I'm going to put in their previous matchup. And it was also a pretty close game, I think, until the fourth quarter, if I'm remembering that correctly. So we'll see what happens, but I'm with you, man. I mean, if you beat a top 10 team, that's got to mean more. Cincinnati could lose, by the way. And even if Cincinnati wins, you know, well, I guess they'd be undefeated. But Cincinnati could lose to Houston, and Oklahoma State could theoretically jump them. So we'll see. Now, I do think they'd probably get thumped by whoever they'd end up playing in the playoffs. But it would be nice to see a Big 12 team other than Oklahoma. I wish it was Texas. But I do, again, fear that if it is Oklahoma State, that they would
get
pumped.
You wish it was six-loss Texas that was in the playoff? Is that what
you
want?
No. I wish Texas didn't lose six games and was able to make the playoff.
Six straight.
Right.
What did they finish? No, they didn't win six. They lost seven or eight.
I think they were 5-7.
5-7?
I think they were 5-7.
Yeah, that's – I don't know. I don't want them in the playoff. No. I just don't want them in the playoff this year.
Right.
I don't know. I'm different than you. Yeah, I know you wish it was Texas, but I don't. I don't wish it was Texas.
Real quick, let me ask you. Since I am a Texas guy, what do you think is going to happen in Texas? You think Sark's the guy?
I don't think Sark. I never thought Sark was the guy.
I haven't liked any of the hires they've made since Mack left. None of them.
I like Charlie Strong. I thought Charlie Strong was going to get the job done. I mean, he was better at Louisville recruiting players and developing players than they were at Texas. They had, if I'm not mistaken, I think Louisville, the year Charlie came, had three first-rounders, and Texas had none, or maybe one guy drafted in the whole draft. So, I mean, I thought Charlie was the guy. And then Tom Herman, I thought he was pretty damn good, too. It just, listen, we just had on Vance Bedford, who was like, you know, they think they've done something just because they got to the University of Texas. They haven't done anything. It's just starting. But for whatever reason, that has permeated that program. It's an attitude that's permeated that program since Mack was there.
Well, it's from the top down. I mean, even starting from the ground up, the players, they feel like when they get to Texas,
they made it.
They got to Texas. Yeah. Cool, we're good. We're at Texas. It's on. And that's just not the case anymore. Texas is not what Texas was. I did not like the Charlie Strong hire because in order to supplant someone like Mack Brown, right? Probably the second best coach in the program's history, but the best coach in recent memory. You need someone, I've been thinking, you need someone that can come in that's done it before. Not someone that did it at Louisville, not someone that did it at Houston, not someone that, you know, was a coordinator for Nick Saban that failed elsewhere as a head coach. You need someone, obviously this is a very obvious pick, but someone like an Urban Meyer, someone that has headed a program, taken them to the promised land, been there and done that. And they haven't found that. And I don't think that Texas is going to find success until they're able to find that. Now, I will say Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma makes things interesting because you see a lot of decommits. You see a lot of big recruits decommitting from Oklahoma. And so it kind of has taken some of the heat off of Texas in the conference. But I think both teams are unfortunately in for a rude awakening when they get to the SEC.
Would you like them to go this year or wait?
To the SEC?
Yeah.
I don't want them to go to the SEC.
Period.
I think they're going to get thumped until they're ready.
Yeah. Everybody thought that about Texas A&M too. And well, they did finish 2-4 in their division. So I mean, there is something to say about that. But they are a much better program since they went to the SEC.
That is true. However, not counting this season, I don't know what A&M finished this season. I think what they four losses,
8-4.
Prior to this season, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't think I am. They had the same amount of 10-win seasons since leaving the Big 12. As Texas has had in that same span when Texas has just been, you know, a pretty bad program. So, yes, they've become a better program, but they weren't a very good program in the Big 12. So, but I mean, they would.
Neither is Texas. Texas is not a very good program in the Big 12. It's
right.
About the same thing.
Right, right. No, I mean,
actually, Texas is probably a little bit worse than A&M was.
And that's what I'm saying. So if they were to go, I think that they're just going to, you know, they might have that, like, upset game against Bama or Georgia here and there. But I think they're going to get thumped because their guys, they – Texas is not big enough to contend with those boys in the trenches.
No.
Right? On the line on both sides. They will get pushed around.
No, they got to get a different guy. But you get a different guy when you go there.
Right.
When you're in the SEC, you recruit a different guy. You've got to have a different guy. And I'm going to tell you this. I was at the LSU A&M game, and I told my brother-in-law, who's got season tickets at LSU, and I said, I've never seen an LSU offensive line as small as this one was.
Wow.
It really hurt them because usually they're monsters on both sides of the ball, and they just didn't have that size, and that's why O's gone. Coach O's gone. He did not recruit SEC kind of players. When Coach O's a great recruiter, for whatever reason, they didn't come to LSU. And, he did lose 19 guys off of that championship team, so that was a little difficult to handle. You just reload there.
He also walked into, a perfect situation, you know, so that kind of is what it is. But Texas has brought in strong recruiting classes and just seemingly done nothing with them. And then guys hit the portal and then boom, it's done. So I don't know. We'll see. I do think though, and I don't know, you know, how much has been talked about this, but Lincoln Riley leaving has caused look, if Caleb Williams leaves, I don't think that Oklahoma has a scholarship quarterback on that roster. And I don't think that's being talked about enough, because I think some of the talk about the program being set back for years, decades, whatever, is pretty overblown, because Oklahoma's, you know, it's a well-oiled machine. They're going to find someone. They're going to replace them. Keep moving.
That's a good program.
But you can easily get into a lull if you don't have an actual quarterback.
Get the right coach. Luke Fickell goes there. They won't miss a beat. Won't miss a beat.
What do you think about Venables?
I don't understand. He's the guy. It's so funny that he just doesn't want it. We were talking about him yesterday. He's making $2.5 million a year, and he doesn't have any of the stress that the head coach has. Hey, it's a good life.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe he's just happy. He's just content. Canuto contento, right? Was that?
He loves working for Dabo.
Yeah.
Dabo's that guy who, hey, I'm going to do really well, and he's a great boss to be around.
And I don't have all that pressure.
I've already made generational money on
him.
Yeah.
713-780-3776. You got any thoughts on any of this? You're more than welcome to get in and talk to us right now. I'm talking about Chastain Ford. Those are my people. They were out there at the golf tournament. Love them. They gave away the Yeti with the wheels on it. Can't be a better cooler. But they, you know what? They spend. They care. They care about the community. They care about the University of Houston. They're big U of H people. They love the city of Houston. They've been selling cars in the city of Houston for over 80 years, have the Chastains. And it's just, and you don't do that unless you do it right, unless you're wonderful at what you do, unless you that's all you care about are the people, is the customers. And I'm telling you right here and right now, they will never add anything on to that vehicle trying to upsell you, because they don't care about that. What they care about is you getting into the best vehicle you can at the price that you will love, that you can handle, so that you don't have to sell that car, so you're not choking on your payments. They don't want that. What they want you to do is be so comfortable and love your vehicle that you're going to tell everybody else about it. They have done more word-of-mouth business than anybody. They are the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston for Ford. There's a reason for that, because they're awesome. So if you're looking for that Ford car or truck, go with the people that you can trust. It's ChastainFord.com, ChastainFord.com, or at the dealership. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown, Chastain Ford.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Yesterday, we talked about, we broke the story, I think. I know Forbes wrote the article, but we were the first ones to report it here in the city of Houston. I don't even know that that's the case, but we don't care. So yesterday Forbes says that there's a possible sale of the Arizona Coyotes to, whomever. And that person is going to move the team to the city of Houston. So we would have NHL hockey here for the first time. And that would be totally cool. Now yesterday, that story came out in the Arizona Coyotes affirmed their desire to remain in the desert after rumors circulated Thursday that the club is up for sale with a plan to relocate to Houston. This is false, totally false. We're not selling. We're not moving. The Coyotes are 100% committed to playing in Arizona, said the team per ESPN's Emily Kaplan. NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman denied the relocation report as well, calling it completely false, according to Craig Morgan of Phoenix Sports. So, count on it. It's a done deal. The team is denying it. Gary Bettman is denying it. When do they move here? Probably next week.
All we need is a Bob Nightingale tweet saying that it's not happening to confirm that it's going to happen.
So, yeah, that's it. Bob Nightingale gets it wrong, does he?
Yeah, every time. Anytime he tweets something, it's just a straight-up jinx, although he obviously tweets about baseball. But, look, I live primarily in Los Angeles. Hopefully I'll come back to Houston soon. But I say that to say that we have hockey in Los Angeles. And one of my favorite things to do is to go to a Los Angeles Kings game. Hockey games are fun, man.
Oh, they're great.
If Houston gets hockey, I think it would be great. And I really hope that the fans in this city rally around that team, no matter how good or bad they are. It's just a different atmosphere. It kind of brings back I don't know, maybe I'm aging myself here, but when I was a kid, we'd go to the Galleria, and it brings back the feeling of the skating rink at the Galleria. Now it hits a little different. It hits a little different as, you know, as I'm older, I don't care about it anymore, but just that feeling of going in, cold beer, ice. It's fun, man. And especially if you get close seats, seeing those guys clash up front.
We're you got to wear the sweater, though. You have to wear the hockey sweater because it's cold in there.
Yes, but it's fun because especially in a city like Houston that's so hot and so humid,
yeah,
it's a nice little change
of pace. No, it's a much different deal. It's my first hockey game, the thing that I got was how bright it was.
Yeah.
Because the lights reflecting off the ice, it was like, wow, this is the brightest place I've ever been in my life. And it just is so – it pops. And it's so much different. If you've ever watched hockey on television, you're like, ah, it's not that – it's so much different. It's the sport that you have to be there most for. Football is now actually better to watch on TV than being there.
I was going to say that. I didn't want to make anyone mad. I don't enjoy watching football in person anymore. You miss all the angles, the replays, you know, the pace of the game. Sometimes depending on where you're sitting, it's hard to see, like, you know – was that a first down, or was that even
the interminable commercial breaks? You just sit there,
yeah.
You know, as opposed to being able to go do whatever at home, you know, or wherever you're at.
And NFL football has failed to create, you know, like that atmosphere. But hockey games, and the fun thing is, you know, if a hockey team came to Houston, I bet those tickets would be pretty affordable.
Ooh, there ain't no affordable NHL tickets. Period.
Well, look, I'll say this: I got some, and it was preseason, so maybe it was just preseason. I got some preseason tickets, Mike. I don't know, 8-9 rows up for 20 to 30 a pop, and to the Kings, to the Los Angeles Kings. And I went and watched that game. It was so much fun, man. Just like you said, you watch it on TV. The puck is moving too fast if you're not a hockey person.
Can't see the puck on TV. All those things.
Hard to follow. But when you're there,
yeah,
it's man, great. It's fun. Get a beer, enjoy
and
yourself.
And the hits and the, I mean, it's just, and every time down the ice, it's And especially playoff hockey, wow, it is so much fun. I mean, I would love to have a hockey team. Love to have a hockey
and
team here.
Also, look, I mean.
And listen, I'm going to tell you this, too. I'm going to tell you this right here and right now. The hottest women go to hockey games.
I don't doubt that.
No. Of all of the sports, the women, hockey women are, and it's amazing. It is, I don't know. It's a bunch of athletic guys that you can see on the ice. I don't know what the deal is. You can't see guys with the helmets on and whatnot. And plus, football is so far away and everything else. A basketball, you know, I don't know why.
Baseball's not bad.
But hockey is a different level, guys. It's a different level.
I believe.
Not that I care about that anymore. But back when I went to hockey games, it was like, holy crap. Look at all the good-looking women here.
Yeah, and the other cool thing about hockey games is, and there's hockey on the TV as we talk about it, the other cool thing about hockey games is that the culture, like if you're just a casual fan, it's easy to get into because hockey fans that are really into hockey, you know, they make it fun. It's not like this passive thing, golf clapping, blah, blah, boring. They are really into the game, the history of their teams, the jerseys. I mean, just like the whole culture, the way that they cheer at the games, like it's so easy to just get into, you know?
You don't have to be an aficionado of hockey. You go to one game and you'll be like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
No.
It's exactly what happened with me. I mean, hockey to me was nothing more than something I'd really play on video games and or the Mighty Ducks. But started going to games and I was like, dude, I got to do this more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, the Coyotes actually, the city of Glendale announced in August that it won't renew the operating agreement next season for the team. So they've played there since 2003, the 03-04 season, and they're not going to have a place to play. The Coyotes filed a bid for a new facility in nearby Tempe in September, but the evaluation process is still ongoing. So we'll see. If they can't get a deal done for a stadium there, Toyota Center, I mean, I'm not speaking for Tillman, but I will anyway.
I got to imagine.
He doesn't allow me to speak for him, but I will anyway.
I got to imagine he'd be interested. I feel like he would. Just my thought.
Yeah. I mean, what the hell? He's taking a big loss with the Rockets right now. Might as well take a big loss with the hockey team, too.
Double down for Tillman. Some fun, baby.
Oh, wait a minute. What? I know where he'll make it up. At the Golden Nugget. Oh, that's it. You want to bet on the team? Actually, here's the problem with going there, is you can't bet on the Rockets at the Golden Nugget. Ugh. You can't bet on the Rockets. But that's fine. I mean, listen. If you bet against them all season long, you were doing really, really well up until these last four games. So this team is too unpredictable. You don't want to bet on them anyway.
They were easy money. I tweeted about this a while ago. They were easy money until they changed the starting line. So now we'll see.
And here's the deal. Where can you go to bet on your sports now, except the Rockets? You can bet on it at the Golden Nugget, okay? They got the DraftKings Sportsbook, which is open now. We opened it up three weeks ago, whatever it was, and it was awesome. Well, I could live there, honestly. The rooms are beautiful. The restaurants are fantastic. You never get tired of eating there. They got 9 or 10 or 12, whatever number of restaurants they've got, and they're all awesome. Of course it is. It's a Landry's property. And listen, the pool, the golf course, everything about it is just perfect. If you're looking for a great getaway, it's only 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road, down I-10. You don't have to take a flight to have a Las Vegas casino. You got it right here in Lake Charles at the Golden Nugget.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.